Hi guys, welcome back to Moms After Bedtime. I'm Brooke and I am here with Megan and our guest host, Caitlin.
Hey.
Hi.
Some of you might recognize Caitlin's voice. She was our first guest on Moms After Bedtime about a year ago. So she's back and we're super excited to have her back here with us.
Woo-hoo. I'm excited to be back.
And Caitlin today is going to talk about having a boy and raising a boy and helping raise him to be a good man, I guess. I don't know. We're going to talk about toxic masculinity mostly. But before that, Caitlin, why don't you start us off with wine and cheese?
Okay. I had a very whiny week, like extremely whiny. last week, I picked up Julian, my son from daycare, and he had very red cheeks, and the daycare provider said, did they tell you that hand, foot, mouth is going around? No. Like, well, he's had really rosy cheeks since he woke up. I'm like, oh, okay. So we got home, and he had a fever, and the next day he had a little bit of a fever, so we got him COVID tested, and luckily it was not, like, I second-guessed myself the whole time of whether or not he actually had it, which was exhausting in itself. But I did the right thing, and I kept him home, and I know it's super, super, super contagious. So it can be super contagious for about a week, even if there aren't symptoms. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to suck it up and keep him home for the week, which we did. And then he required a doctor's note to come back. And that's, like, my major whine was trying to get a doctor's note for your kid to go back to daycare. Oh my gosh. And I'm someone that works in healthcare, so I'm like not immune to all of the intricacies of everything that needs to go on for you to get a doctor's note. I called like 48 hours before I needed the doctor's note, and I was rushing to the doctor before they closed yesterday to be able to get it because of how much stuff I had to do to get the doctor to sign off on him. I had him COVID tested somewhere else. They wanted those results. They had to decide if they wanted to see him or not. Oh my gosh, it took forever. And I ended up with the crankiest lady on the phone who lied to me about their office hours.
What?
She said there should be someone in the office until about 4:30. I got there, the office door says open till 5. So I'm on the highway, like, because I had to drive to the convenient MD where I got him COVID tested to get the results because they were faxed, but there was such a backlog of faxes. That's why it took so long.
Oh my God.
And so I'm rushing back, driving so fast. Turns out I had an extra half an hour to get there. And so it's just, I guess my major whine is like, how in this age of technology with virtual visits, this, that, and the other thing, why can't we clear someone who doesn't have any symptoms of a disease to go back to daycare without someone having to physically drive a half an hour in the other direction to get a piece of paper?
This sounds like when I switched OBGYN offices.
Yeah.
Like, they literally, one, it's 2021. Can we just discard every fax machine? I don't know how to fax anybody anything. Are you kidding me? Let's just send it as a PDF. Can we just all agree on that?
I've had to fax stuff. I mean, I'm still with the fax world, I guess. I think faxing is so much easier and faster than a PDF. Like,
yes, but I do agree. Regardless, like the pharmacy, the fax machine does end up working out pretty well usually, but that's why I just find it so irritating because, like, working in the pharmacy is so crazy and so busy. But if someone ever told me they were faxing me something for something that was urgent like that, like, I would never treat someone with lying about my business hours. It just didn't seem like the appropriate response. And just like being very, when I said, like, can I drive there and drive it back to you and bring it in? And she said, that would probably work.
Oh my God.
Probably. And honestly, I just got a bad person on the phone, which is the bummer of it because I go to the same office as him, and I've had, like, a problem here and there, but it's always just one person that's either, like, a medical assistant or a secretary, and you guys just don't don't clash with each other. But then it becomes a big thing where it's like, okay, it took her 45 minutes to talk to the doctor to see if he was fine without the COVID results, because we aren't even concerned if he has COVID or not. And then she had to call me back 45 minutes later and say, no, we need the COVID results in order to clear him. Okay. So anyway, that was just, the week was really hard anyway, but that was like the cherry on top where I didn't want to have to go back to work anyway. And I, you know, we didn't necessarily have the easiest week because he's getting to that age where everything is like throwing all his food on the floor and screaming at me and whining and all that stuff. So it was kind of a rough week anyway, but I still didn't really want to go back to work. I'm like, ugh. and he, you know, he was fine health-wise the whole week, so it was kind of just like a little bit of time off. But man, it was just, it was just a bad ending to the week.
Yep.
And then my cheese, I had to think because it just was kind of a rough week, but, Julian has started talking so much more in the past, like even just the past few days.
Oh my God.
And cheese is even one of his new words.
Yes! So
that like inspired me to be my cheese, but we just read a book tonight, before he went to bed, and it's the Mama book by Jimmy Fallon, and it like has a bunch of just like easy words and easy pictures to look at, and he knew most of the words in the book, and it was just super cute to hear him just be like, I mean, most of them are like sound very, very similar, like ball and balloon and bubble pretty much all sounded the same, but they were different enough where I could tell he was trying, and it's just really cute, especially when the one word he learned it last week, I think, baby, and you can just like hear his voice, like not just like a toddler, like ball or dog, or but when he says baby, like you can hear his little voice coming out, and it's just so cute.
Oh, I want to hear his little voice.
Oh my gosh. I'll go wake him up.
Do that. Yes. Then it won't be mom's after bedtime, it'll be mom's during bedtime.
Right.
It's really fun when they start talking a lot more, and I don't know. I'm excited to hear his cute little voice.
Yeah, I feel like he's starting to confuse Mama and Dada, though, which is, or maybe he's doing it on purpose, but.
Oh, that's fine. Shay called every single adult Mama for, like, months. So
he did that with Dada, too. He did it around Christmas time, and he kept doing it to the Grinch. Well, Kyle, I guess he thinks the Grinch is his
dad. Megan, what's your wine and cheese for this week?
Well, I kind of have two cheeses.
Again?
I guess. Yeah. Okay, well, my sprinkled cheese is just that I did a hard thing and I tried a new gym today.
I was thinking about that.
It was really scary and my stomach hurt all up until I went in, but it actually was kind of fun. So I have a contender for a new place, and I'm trying another gym tomorrow. And today was my last day at my current gym, so that was kind of sad.
Today they closed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question. Did you end up at the gym with, like, the kickboxing?
I'm not trying the kickboxing tomorrow, but I'm trying that gym.
Yeah.
And then I'll try boxing next week. So I'm going to try three different gyms and then pick my... So kind of like shopping
for gyms
right now. So
I'm so scared to go to the one gym that I pay for already.
It was... Yeah. It was... I tried CrossFit today.
Oh.
And it was a little intimidating, but like not as intimidating as I thought it was going to be.
Cool.
Yeah. I literally walked in and they're like, we're working on handstand stuff today. I'm like, oh.
Awesome.
But yeah, it was good. But my major cheese is that Ryan and I and Eliza went to Southern Maine this week. And we got to meet little Ren and got to see Mandy and Phil and Isla and, you know, see how they're doing. And from my perspective, they're doing super awesome. They're just loving life, and Ren is so cute, and I was so excited to meet her, and she's so small. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was, like, holding a piece of paper. And
a piece of paper.
I'm like, how to... But yeah, it was good. And then I got to see like one of our other friends. And then I actually got to see Brooke and my uncle and my mom and dad. So yeah, that was good to come see everyone. It's always like kind of a whirlwind when I come down, because everybody that I know and love lives in that area pretty much.
Yep.
So it's just kind of like, I don't want to leave anybody out. So, but I actually did get to kind of make my rounds, and it was good. My wine, on the other hand, however, is that Eliza is not sleeping very well in the crib.
Oh, no.
And, like, I talked last week about her, like, hip brace and stuff. I think she's just having a hard transition. I think she, like, rolls over and then is, like, I don't know if you can hear her screaming right now, but I think she'll just, like, roll over and be, like, why am I on my stomach now? And then she'll just start crying, and then, when it was our fault as well. We messed up her schedule by going down to Southern Maine, and we got home late. She just wouldn't go to sleep. She was just screaming, and she would only fall asleep if one of us was holding her.
Aww.
So we had to take shifts, like, staying up with her and trying to put her back in the crib, and she's never done that before. So, except maybe, like, the first night we were home.
Yeah.
So it was just, like, going from a baby who has been sleeping, like, through the night once in a while. Like, I don't know. She'll have, like, weeks where she sleeps through the night the whole week. And then she's also, like, her two bottom teeth are coming in and, I don't know, just a big, like, storm of stuff.
I feel like it's harder when they do sleep pretty well, because then you, like, don't know what to do when they're not sleeping.
I know. We were like, I have no, like, when she wouldn't sleep when she was really little, we know now, is because she was super hungry because she wasn't getting enough breast milk. And so, like, that was the issue. So we're like, oh, she probably would be a good sleeper the whole time, if whatever. And I had a moment, like, when we were like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, honestly, like, bright side, there are a lot of people who this is their baby all the time. And so I was like, just think about, like, just feel for those people. Like, I know this sucks, but, like, man.
But it sucks for you in the moment.
Yeah, it did. But I was thankful that she's a relatively good sleeper. But we'll get back to it. But,
yeah.
Ugh.
She sounds like she's not having a good time right now. If you need to pause and go help, let us know. But I'm sure Ryan's got it anyway.
Yeah, he's good.
So I also had a really whiny week, and it was hard to choose really anything. But the biggest thing I think that's been bugging me the past couple of weeks even is kind of in relation to your whine, Caitlin. Like, Shay is just always sick. Like, yes. Always.
Always.
It's nonstop. Last week, my whine was that I had to have her home with me for my class by myself. Thursday, I had to pick her up early from daycare at, like, noon because she threw up during nap time, which I'm pretty sure is because she just was caught. She has a cough. She has a cough literally 24/7. But sometimes she coughs so much, or, like, there's, like, mucus, and she just ends up throwing up. But so, obviously, daycare had to send her home. And Shane golfs every Thursday night. It's always been that way. He's on a golf league. And so I had to keep Shay home with me during my midterm. Mm. And then during my class, it was just a shit show. But the big scheme of things is, like, she's always sick, which then piques my anxiety because I never know what to, especially with COVID. I'm like, do I get her COVID tested every single time she gets sick? Which at this point, she's had probably the most COVID tests out of all of us.
Julian might be tied with her.
They go to daycare, so I'm sure that's part of it. And like, we go to the pediatrician because I'm like, we get our allergy tested. And then the pediatrician is always like, it's probably just a virus. It's got to run its course. You can't really do much besides me, like, obsessively watching her breathe at night, making sure that she can breathe. So it's just like the physical exhaustion of having to take care of her, but then, like, the mental exhaustion of, like,
making that decision.
Yeah. And then, like,
just, like, symptom spotting all day.
Yep. Yes, symptom spotting. That is it. Like, I sent videos to my sister. She's a nurse. Like, does she look like she's having retractions when she's breathing? Is she... And, of course, my sister was like, respiratory issues in kids stress me out. So, yeah, I'd take her to get seen. And then we decided not to take her. And then I slept in her room again on the floor because, I don't know, it's just, like, all the time. And I try to be, like, cool and relaxed about it. Like, kids get sick. No big deal. But it's just... nonstop.
Our pediatrician, I thought this was like an insane number, but she said, like, in the first couple years of life, like, don't be shocked if your kid has like 10 to 12 colds.
Yeah.
Or like little viruses. And she's like, if she goes to daycare,
The pediatrician told us the same thing. Yeah. Like,
I'm like, holy crap.
Kids who go to daycare get, I can't remember the number, but it was like a big number, and it ended up being like at least once a month.
Right.
Like, or your kid is going to have some sort of virus, which is fine when we're not in a pandemic.
Right.
So.
Right. Because it is like past the point of like, oh, their immune systems. Like, now you have to be like scared on top of like just letting it run its course. So.
And like have to go through the whole process of getting a COVID test and.
Oh, that was traumatic.
Love that.
Eliza's only had one, but it was traumatic because she was like 4 months old, maybe.
Yeah. It's gotten to the point where yesterday we were driving to gymnastics and we had to drive by the hospital where she got COVID tested like 3 times. Mm-hmm. And she was going, my doctor, as we drove by. Like, how did you remember that? That's so upsetting.
Is Shay, I know you had said this a while ago, is she still kind of, like, when she gets into the doctor's office, does she do better now, or is it still kind of?
So, there was one day that I took her to get COVID tested, and it was okay, and actually she wore a mask, and she wore her mask the whole entire time, but as soon as somebody, it's like white coat syndrome, it's when the doctor walks in, then she starts crying. And as soon as they try to touch her with anything, she just, like, screams. And then I feel worse because I'm traumatizing her more because I have to hold her down so they can, like, COVID test her or whatever it is. But she did better the last couple times. I mean, she still cried and, like, freaked out a little. And then as soon as the... It's so weird. She knows as soon as they, like, stop touching her and, like, turn away and they start to walk for the door or whatever, she's just, like, fine. Everything's fine. And she's like, bye. And like loves them all of a sudden.
Well, that's so interesting because Julian has also had a ton of COVID tests. And you're like describing all of our child visits, like not even COVID testing visits, the ones that are just his checkups now. If he has to take his, like, especially after he takes his clothes off to get like weighed and measured and stuff, it's just screaming the entire time. Not even like the shots aren't even that bad. It's just like someone getting close to him now at the doctor's office.
We went a couple times because she's has pooping issues. Cause you know, there's that on top of it too. She doesn't ever fucking poop or she poops for a week straight diarrhea, like 8 times a day. But yeah, we took her, the doctor didn't even have to really like look at her. He just like, I think he did end up like listening to her lungs or whatever. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it wasn't, he didn't have to do anything. And she was like, not having it. But she also just doesn't like people. So that doesn't help either.
Julian's a little bit shy too. I wonder if they both have the same, like, not necessarily super trusting of someone they don't super know. On top of it, have had 6,000 COVID tests.
Exactly.
And like the combination is just too much. Does she do good in like the waiting area?
Luckily we haven't had to wait long, but yeah, she's usually okay.
Yeah, so is he. That's so bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. They know. They learn quickly.
Yep.
And then my cheese, my cheese is that we, went to, well, we talked about this, like, last summer, Mandy and I talked about this place a couple of times. It's like an outside, like, brewery type thing. And we went there this weekend. Mandy posted some pictures on the stories. And it was Shane and I and a couple other friends, and Shay and Isla were just so cute. Like, they got up on this little box and were dancing, and I don't know. It was just fun to watch them. They're getting better at playing together. Like, they kind of play separately, but they were getting on the box together and, like, dancing and, like, running around together. So it was just cute and fun to watch. And Shay is obsessed with babies, and I don't know, like, why. But she loves Ren and she loves our other friend's little baby and she just gets so excited. Only when I'm holding them, she won't go near them if another grown-up that she doesn't know is holding them. But yeah, so it was just a nice little outing with beer and family.
It looked fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, every time we go, though, someone get, usually Isla, gets, like, knocked over by a dog because dogs run around freely, yeah. Which I guess isn't great, but we still go back for some reason. Yeah, so now we can kind of put things out to Caitlin. She wanted to come on and talk about what it's like to kind of raise a boy in today's society, and I know we're going to talk about how we're not experts, and this is just a conversation between moms, but I'm excited to have your perspective, and I'm really trying to avoid the boy mom, because I think that's really annoying, like, stereotype, but, I mean, you're kind of on here to talk about raising boys, and...
Well, I think it's like, without using, like, boy mom, girl mom, whatever, it's, I think, just as a parent, it's good to talk about what can we do just to raise better humans.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
And we talk a lot about raising girls and...
Right. We need your perspective.
It'll be good to have your perspective of it all.
Yes. So
take the lead.
So you kind of said something that is kind of what inspired me to... So Julian's only 16 months old, so we don't have... like a super urgent need to be diving into all of this right yet. He doesn't, you know, necessarily wouldn't pick up on a lot of things that I've been trying to learn about quite yet, but I was actually looking for a boy mom like Facebook group because I thought maybe that would be something more specific. I have a sister. I don't have any brothers. I, you know, even just something as simple as other moms that maybe feel like they're a little out of their league in terms of raising a son. But most of the, at least the Facebook groups that I could find, were kind of targeted towards the more silly side of it. Like, oh, here's all the, like, the silly things that boys do and boys say, and all of the crazy, you know, they have so much energy and all of these activities to keep them busy and that type of thing. So I kind of hit dead ends there. I actually, like, left all of the ones that I joined. The first one that popped up, the first post, was about spanking.
Oh, God.
So I'm like, this clearly isn't the one that I want to be in. Okay, I guess not clearly. I don't want to spank my son. In that group, I mean, there was like 25 comments. The question was, when did you start spanking? And everybody was answering when they started. So
when did you start? Not even like. I mean, I feel like I've. Yeah, like if somebody were like, I don't know what else to do but spank, someone please help me.
Yeah.
Not like, when did you start? Oh, God.
So, needless to say, I left that one. So I was looking at, like, Instagram as well. I couldn't really find, because there's not all the, but there are tons of gentle parenting and toddler parenting Instagram pages that are super helpful with just little posts about this, that, and I figured there would probably be one about raising boys, and I didn't find anything helpful there. So I did, you know, I'm like, okay, mom, I'm gonna read a book. I guess I'm gonna read a book. so even that proved to be, like, I couldn't find the book that really spoke to me. There was a lot that had a lot of religious, aspects to it, which is fine, and I'm sure that there were also points that would have spoken to me, but I didn't want to commit to a religious side of raising a boy as the first book that I'd kind of dove into. So I finally found one that did speak to me. It's called Raising Boys to Be Good Men, A Parent's Guide to Bringing Up Happy Sons in a World Filled with Toxic Masculinity. And that kind of opened my eyes to a lot of different subjects. It's set up as it says parenting tips, but it's kind of just little headings on different areas to pay attention to when you're raising boys. Not preachy at all. The man who wrote it is from the perspective of, I grew up being toxic. Like, I did things that were toxic, and it took me a long time, and it took me becoming a dad to sons to learn what I was doing wrong. So that just kind of opened, the book's really good. I would recommend it to especially dads, just because it was from a dad's perspective. And there's a lot of things like, some of the tips were like, it's okay to talk about miscarriage. It's okay to talk about, you know, like certain things that in the mom world are a little bit more, you know, I guess we're also still learning that it's okay to talk about those things. But a lot of that was targeted towards the dad's perspective of, like, I was being the rock for my wife who was going through a miscarriage, and I didn't realize that I should be talking about that and stuff like that. But I think it's good. It really did bring up a lot of parenting tips, but obviously it was targeted towards boys. And before kind of we start talking about the topics that caught my attention the most, I just wanted to, I had two disclaimers. one is that I do know that Julian was born with male genitalia, so his sex is male, but obviously gender is an identity. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about, like, statistically, he probably will identify as male, but we do know there's a chance that he won't. So I'm not assuming that he's going to identify as a boy, but I am educating myself, assuming statistically he will. And then that, Brooke, you said it, I am definitely not an expert. He's 16 months old. I just want to start preparing myself for all of these things that are going to come up that I have absolutely no idea about.
Yeah.
And that, just based on my, like, little Facebook, Instagram, whatnot searches, it's not a lot of stuff out there to help. And we do put a lot of focus, and not that this is negative at all, about raising girls, because clearly there is a lot of toxic masculinity, and we have to fight against that to raise girls that can grow up in a better world. But we actually also have to do the same thing with boys, mm-hmm. because we don't want, yep. them to become toxic males. Mm-hmm. And I'm really surprised that there's not more out there, honestly, about that the importance of that side of it.
We just, like, also, I feel like it's been pretty recent that it's sort of come to my attention, or that I've even, like, thought about it. But we talk a lot about, you know, like, the societal things that are put on girls, but there are just as many societal things that are put on boys that mess with who they become, and this whole idea of toxic masculinity and that kind of stuff. And I don't come across as many things about raising boys, mm-hmm. as, mm-hmm. I do raising girls, to kind of, like, fight against it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's, like, a big takeaway that I have from just reading more about all of these subjects, is that in order to combat it, it's going to start with parents teaching their sons how to be better humans, and how, what to watch out for, really, too, because not only do you have to teach them these things, they're going to hear the opposite out in society, and you have, yep. to keep talking to them because of how ingrained it is in our society of all of these toxic masculinity traits. I mean, not every masculine trait is bad, obviously, but we've, you know, there's just so many things out there that we can now dive into.
I think, like, the whole idea is that for a long time, you had to be, like, placed into a box of, like, okay, like you said earlier, like, you were born with female genitalia, so you're, yes. gonna be a girl, and you have to do these girl things, and, like, your parents just were like, okay, you're gonna like pink, we're gonna buy you all these dolls, mm-hmm. and do all these things. And then with boys, there's also a box that they are put in that they have to be. And so if you're ever in one of those boxes and you don't feel right, that's gonna cause, like, issues,
yeah.
overall with your self-confidence and all of those things.
So one thing that actually wasn't touched on in this book, but something that has kind of, it comes up very quickly when you learn you're a mom or a dad of a boy, is circumcision, which I'm not going to come on here and, like, talk about Julian specifically, but that is something right off the bat that you're putting you're not putting him in a box, but you're doing something that you're thinking about his future sexuality before he's even born. Mm-hmm. And it's just so bizarre because people make decisions pro-con circumcision based on that, and they're not even born yet, which is very, it's just a bizarre choice to make for your one day old baby that you have to think of all of these different things, and it's all 50-50 split down the middle of pros and cons, and you kind of have to just, I mean, really you have to go with your gut and what feels right to you, but it's just one of those things that obviously there's a lot of hard choices with girls too, but that one is, ugh, they block it in parenting groups. It's just so controversial. You're not even allowed to talk about it.
I remember like being so stressed about like what would I do if I'm having a boy and having to like make that decision before I even knew if I was having a girl or a boy.
Yeah.
And then I was so relieved when we did find out we were having a girl, like, I mean, yay, whatever. But also, I was just like, thank God we don't have to make that decision, because it was like...
That's a lot of pressure.
Scary to me. And I mean, I know what I want to do, but I think Shane might have a different thought process. And then you have to be like, okay, well, you're a man. Mm-hmm. I should trust your opinion, mm-hmm. since, you know, we constantly as women are like, trust our opinions about our bodies. And
yeah.
Yeah.
We sort of have an easy... If we were to have a boy, like, we're Jewish, so the decision's already made.
Yeah, that takes all the pressure off.
You don't have to decide. That's cool.
Yeah, which I, like, I am sort of thankful for in a way, because I've seen how mean people can be on, like, mom groups. And you're right that it's, like, this huge decision that you're making about your child's body.
From someone that has researched it extensively, the medical research of pro and con is very, very 50-50. It's like one thing, there's a higher risk of something on pro, and then there's a higher risk of something on con. And it's like, it really does just, it's just one of the ones that's gonna get you if you have to have a boy. But so that was actually not one of the reasons that we found out gender before or sex before he was born. But I was definitely on the train of finding out, and I know you two were too, sex before birth. And I don't know how you two feel, like, after the fact, if it made any sort of impact, or, like, if you liked knowing, because for some reason it didn't necessarily help. I felt like it would make you kind of connect more with your baby, be able to name your baby. I do think it's, like, one of the only things you can find out about them before they're born. It's not necessarily, oh, I want to find out that you're a girl because I want to buy you all the girl stuff and I want to picture all the girl stuff with you, or vice versa. It's just like, you can't learn anything about them.
That was actually someone had reached out to me about, like, gender reveals.
Yeah.
And I was like, honestly, like, that is, finding out the sex of your baby is just... As a parent or as a pregnant person, that was like one little piece of information I could get.
Yeah, so I wanted it. That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah, and so it was, for me, it helped me connect.
I thought I would, but
I don't know.
I didn't. I just felt like we still couldn't come up with a name. And we still
just, like... I kind of wish we didn't know. And we'll probably, like, I feel like I'm going to get into this, but because then people start buying, like, wasn't necessarily the stuff I wanted to buy. It was all the stuff that, like, everyone else started buying, like...
The ugliest fucking outfits ever.
And all the... Yeah, and all the stuff that, like...
Not that... Don't get me wrong, like, I like a nice bow. She has some pink stuff that I bought myself. But some of the shit... God, it's so ugly. Anyway.
The stuff that they say is just... I actually, before... yesterday I was like, I know we're going to end up talking about gendered clothes, so I just went online to see, like, what the difference was between boys and girls right now. And when you go on Carter's, it's all pretty, like, it's pretty, like, the girls one said, I saw one that said, I got it from my mamas.
That's one cute. Said, okay.
Let's sleep together. Yeah.
Okay. It's cute in the sense that I like that it's inclusive.
Yeah.
But it's really, I would never buy. Like,
I know. But, like, I could tell, like, you can tell when you go on Carter's that they're trying. Like,
yeah.
They have a hanging out with daddy, friends come in every color with a bunch of birds on it. And then the boys' stuff was not as cute. There was like trucks. It said I could dig it. A truck that said smash. Mops,
oh my god.
Superhero. Mm-hmm. Caution. Wrecking crew. Like, the girl stuff is all like cute and like pretty, like, I don't know. It's not like saying like I'm just gonna cook in the kitchen. Like, it's trying
like
to
I'm
be
a
very,
princess. Yeah.
Yes. But the boy stuff is still very like I have a truck and it just says smash, like, really. But the Walmart girl stuff, when you go on Walmart, it's very like, it was cute, like cute, sweet princess, all that type of stuff. And then the boy stuff was pretty similar. So I did also, you know, try to do a lot of gender neutral stuff, but like I didn't, before he was born, I wasn't buying him like pink and purple clothes. And I do feel like that's some, like, who knows, pink could be his favorite color. And I think you guys have talked on the podcast before about how pink used to be the boy receiving blanket color in the hospital or something.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like it hasn't even been this way forever, but like there's no pink boys clothes. The boys section in the store is just like honestly usually pretty ugly, and
yeah,
it's just it's just one of those things that starts from the very beginning where, I mean, that's boys and girls obviously, but
I think clothing and like how you express yourself outwardly matters, and you should be comfortable to do it in any way that you see fit. And I think that's one of those huge societal things we put on both girls and boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have been super frustrated lately, and I'm trying like not to like take the conversation too far in like a different direction, but like I've noticed that when Shay wears like a dress or wears something super girly, people comment on it and say, wow, you're so pretty. Whoa, I love that. And they make comments. So, of course, she's going to want to continue wearing all of these girly things. And I'm sure it happens with Julian. I'm sure he probably gets more attention for wearing, like, a cute suit and a tie. Or, like, oh, you love those trucks, don't you, little guy? Or, like, just annoying things like that. So I feel like just, like you said, Caitlin, starting just even from when they're babies, there's stuff that's already getting ingrained that it's better to wear certain things because I'm a boy versus a girl.
And I guess, Megan, what you said about how like people use clothes to express themselves, it's just kind of sad that we aren't really giving them an opportunity to even as early as 16 months he can start to see stuff that he likes in his drawers and choose them.
Right.
So if we're not giving a variety, we're not giving him any sort of opportunity to express himself, because everything at the store says, you know, I want to smash stuff with my truck. Like,
right.
I mean, he does like to smash stuff with his trucks. Like, that's, you know, a toy that he likes to play with, but it's just, you know, if we don't give them that opportunity for a variety of stuff, they won't learn how to express themselves in that way.
Right. They're going to, like, again, like Brooke was saying, be put in some sort of box.
Yeah. I feel like that whole thought of, like, different clothing is obviously, it's not just about boys. That's obviously super, super impactful for girls, too. But I do feel like these days I see girls wearing a lot more of like the dinosaur stuff and like superheroes, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know as if we're ever gonna see the opposite of the boys and the cute pink stuff, a headband.
Not anytime soon. Yeah.
And then, I mean, that just goes into all of the different types of toys that you buy for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we buy gifts for Julian, we do try to go like gender neutral, like we do like musical instruments or arts and crafts or you know, just different, like, I don't know, random stuff that's not one way or the other. But I do think it's important, and I know I can be really a lot better at this, is buying traditional girl toys. Like he does have one doll, but I think that, you know, after reading more about this, I think that it's worth it to get some more dolls. And like, he's played with Kyle's sisters have an old like My Little Pony like castle thing that he's played with and loved, and it's just like stuff like that. Like, why not? Like, why wouldn't I buy something like that? It's just, he's gonna like playing with it.
I remember we had, like, a Hot Wheels, like, my brother and I are kind of far apart, so I was probably, like, a little too old to play this, but anyway. we had, like, a Hot Wheels cash register, and it came with, like, a little, like, garage. So these car, like, your car would come in, and you're, like, getting an oil change today? Whatever. But, like,
that's cute.
I remember that toy, and I loved it. And my parents would not have bought that for me.
Yeah.
They bought it for him, and I was, like, having the time of my life with it. So, I mean.
My sister has a son, and he is 9 now? But when he was little, she bought him dolls. He loved playing with dolls. She even bought him, like, doll, like, furniture. And I think one thing that you'll probably see you'll run into is there's not a lot of boy dolls.
No.
So she would, I mean, obviously that's fine to buy, like, girl dolls, but she was also, like, she would, like, cut their hair and, like, buy, like, boyish clothes for them. So that way he had, like, boy dolls, girl dolls, gender neutral dolls.
Yeah.
But I, like, now that we're talking about it and now that he's gotten older, because he played with them probably until he was, like, 6. But I think he went to school. I think being in school, now he's all into, like, sports. And, which is, he's good at sports. But part of me wonders if that's because, I mean, most 9-year-olds don't really play with dolls anymore anyway. But it just kind of feels like no matter how hard you try as when they're little, there's still, like, outside societal pressures and kids at school and teachers and adults in their lives, family members and stuff who.
Right. One comment that's like, why are you playing with a doll? Could, like, ruin a whole kid's. And I mean, I know this is, like, I don't know if there's any research on this, but, like, thinking forward, if you're normalizing a man or someone who identifies as a man taking care of a baby or being a caretaker, isn't that just going to make them a better caretaker when they get older?
Yeah. Like, yeah. This book didn't specifically talk about it. And actually, another thing about this book is references, like, at the bottom of each or whatever. Megan, you know this better. What's it called when they have little numbers at the bottom of the page?
Like footnotes?
Footnotes. That makes sense. So for all the information in the book, like, you can see right at the bottom where they got it from. So it does have a lot of specific research cited on it.
That's cool.
And then the thing about the, like, what you said, Brooke, about not playing with dolls once you go to school. The guy that wrote this book, actually, I feel like I vaguely remember this happening. It was a couple of years ago where this the author's son went to school with fingernail polish on and kids made fun of him, and it turned into a big, like, the guy tweeted about it and it blew up on Twitter, and they ended up on the Today Show, and then it became a big thing in the opposite direction. All the kids that made fun of him, like, only one person stuck up for him, and all the kids that made fun of him then were like, well, I guess I like it, and they went the other direction, because...
Yeah, only because it was a big deal.
Yes, but, like, that was a big thing where he'd been painting his fingernails for, like they said, for, like, the past 2 years, and then he went to kindergarten. It took one day for him to come home, like, bawling his eyes out, saying, like, you know, is this just for girls, or whatever. And it was a really cute story. The older brother was 10 and he painted his fingernails and went to school with him, and the dad painted his fingernails, and they told him who, what, you know, I guess like Jack Sparrow paints his fingernails and the Hulk or somebody paints his fingernails. I don't remember who, but they convinced him to keep the fingernail polish on, and then it became a big thing. But I think that's actually how this guy got this book deal, is because it got to be such a big deal. But he's been in, like, online parenting groups and stuff forever. But just a lot of this book was, you teach your kids this and you ingrain it in their minds that you don't have to be in this boy mold, and you can do what you think and how you feel. It doesn't matter what other people tell you. And then it just keeps happening. I mean, with everything, you just keep hearing things opposite of what is going kind of against that traditional grain. And it's just super important to keep up with it and to constantly be talking to your kids and to constantly, you know, kind of just, the guy was saying, you kind of you feel like you're bothering them. They're going to roll their eyes at you. And, you know, dad's going off or mom's going off on this again. But if you don't keep doing that, then someone at school is going to say something and it's going to change everything that you've taught them.
I think you, and I mean, this is just from me listening to and reading a lot of like Glennon Doyle's stuff, like we talk about it every single episode, but she talks a lot about like focus on like what you want to instill in your child, but also know that society might not like support what you're doing, but just keep doing it and just keep telling them that they're like worthy and valuable and whatever, because the person they're gonna look to as their number one is their parents. And so if you just, society can suck sometimes, and if you, what you want to instill in them and you want to teach them, just keep doing it and doing it, you know, give it your all, I guess. That's easier said than done, but I mean, you know.
I also think, like, we're talking about this little boy who goes to school with his fingernails painted. Like, that's, like, obvious stuff that I think everyone can look at and say, wow, people shouldn't have been mean to him. But there's, like, little things.
Like, microaggressions.
Yeah, and, like, I even heard one today while I was at work. There was this boy, he identifies as a boy for right now, who was playing in like a sensory bin, and I told the person working with him, like, tell him that he has to have like gentle hands to keep all the beads in the bin or else he'll get a little like wacky or crazy or whatever. And she was like, oh, you tell Miss S I'm a boy, of course I'm gonna get crazy. And that just like dug me a little bit, and like I kind of wish I had said, I don't know what I would have said in that moment, but it made me think about like, oh, tonight we're recording this episode. And I was like, that's just one of those things that is so applicable to like, no, boys don't have gentle hands. They have to be rough all the time.
Yes.
Why do we want to teach them that?
I don't know. And there's just such a big generalization that boys are wild and crazy. And you, but isn't that the same for girls also? Like, why are we saying that? Because it does that. That's what it starts. Is that then they're older and they think they'll be wild and crazy forever? And it's like, no, you're a young kid that wants to run around and be crazy,
right,
just
that's
like
natural.
Right next to you, But we're telling you that it's because you're a boy. So
I know we've talked about this before, but I kind of shared how, you know, when I was younger, and I think that I was put into a box kind of for a little while in my childhood because of this. But, like, I was pretty bossy and, like, a little, I guess, aggressive. And that, you know, girls don't do that. You are a bossy girl. Stop that. But if a boy was doing the same thing, we're like, yes, assertive, aggressive. He's taking what he wants. He's a boss, whatever. And, I mean, I think things are changing, hopefully. But, I mean, that was, I don't know. I feel like something in my life where my personality was molded by society a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know. Can they just be personality traits? Why do you have to, like...
Right.
Yeah. And I think it goes both ways. Like...
Yeah, for sure.
You can see a girl crying and be like, girls cry! Like, whatever. But, like, if you see a boy crying, most of the time, someone's gonna come over and be like,
toughen up,
you're fine. Yeah, like, boys don't cry.
That, like, breaks my heart.
Or the opposite direction of being too aggressive and too bossy to the point where it's no longer, like, assertive, it's aggressive.
Right.
And then it's boys will be boys. Like,
yep.
You write it off because he's a boy, and it's like, no, that's the type of thing that we should be never saying and correcting when other people say, and talking to boys when they're too aggressive. It's not a boy versus girl thing. If you're going to be mean and not respectful, that needs to be addressed as well.
Right.
There's a happy medium for both genders, and I don't think that it should be criticized for a girl being assertive, and I don't think it should be excused for a boy being aggressive.
Yeah, for sure. That's such a good way to say it.
And this is, like, obviously, like, older men, but, like, the whole excuse of, like, well, guys just act on their urges. Men just act on their urges. So if they ever, like, sexually assault somebody or, you know, say something inappropriate to a woman, like, someone always falls back on, like, well, they can't control themselves. They're men. Like, they have the same brains as us. Like, they have control over their behavior as well. And by us not holding them accountable, like you said, Caitlin, can start early in the sense of, like, if they're overly aggressive and we don't hold them accountable to that, yeah. then that can turn into more aggression and also boys not knowing how to control themselves, I guess.
Yeah. I'm trying to say. There was actually a lot about that in this book, to a point that I hadn't really thought about before, where obviously boys these days are taught more about consent and what it means for consent, but that it needs to be taken even a step further, that they get taught you don't touch a girl unless she says yes. Well, what about before she says yes? Guys pester and try to convince why it should be a yes, and, you know, do this, that, and the other thing so that she does say yes. Like in relationships, not necessarily, you know, you met at the bar and you asked and she said yes. It's, you know, like the build up to trying to get a girl to say yes to you is not healthy either. You need to respect someone's decision and let them make the decision on their own when they're ready, just by being yourself, not by going to these crazy lengths to, you know, add another. Basically, he was saying guys try to add numbers to how many, you know, girls they're sleeping with or whatnot. And that type of behavior of, okay, I'm going to get a yes from her. Okay, now I'm going to work on this yes from her. Like, that is so toxic, but not talked about in the same way as make sure she says yes first.
Yeah. Has anyone gone back and watched The Notebook? Because
no, that's actually a good point.
Well, that probably came out in like 2009 or something. And I loved it. And it was so romantic how Noah chases Allie.
Yeah.
Was her name?
I think so.
And then I watched it just a few years ago. I couldn't even stand it because he literally hangs himself from the Ferris wheel and is like, if you don't go on a date with me, I'm going to let go. How toxic is that? And when I was like 18, 19, 20 years old, I was like, he's so romantic.
Yep.
So messed up.
Someone who, if you're sort of like interested in like thinking about this whole idea of like what we'll accept for men, like, how do I say this? I guess being romantic or whatever you want to say. Eliza Schlesinger. I think I'm saying her last name right.
She's a comedian, right?
Well, her comedy, she talks a lot about, like, guys and girls and, like, society and all that kind of stuff. I think she's pretty funny. But she actually, this is a true story. And there's a movie on Netflix called Good on Paper. And she wrote it about this story. And she met a guy on a plane, was not physically attracted to him, like, at all. And they kind of became friends, and all these things, he lied to her to get her to like go out with him, and she had told him a bunch of times, like, look, I'm just not there with you, I like you as a friend, but like, she was super upfront with him and was like, I'm not physically attracted to you, blah blah blah. He lied about going to Yale. Push comes to shove, he really wants to be with her. He lies to her and tells her that his mom has cancer to get her to date him.
Oh, I watched that.
Did you watch that?
Yeah.
It's just, like, the thing of it is, like, it's, like, a, you know, it's a movie, whatever. It's, like, silly. But it, like, happened in real life. And she, I listened to a podcast that she was on, and she was saying, you don't know the amount of people who have reached out to me about, like, toxic situations like this, that the same exact thing has happened to them. And, like, at what point do we stop just being, like, well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my gut instincts are wrong. I know that's kind of, like, getting into, like, the I guess, maybe female side of things. But, yeah, I don't know how you combat that and how we stop letting Hollywood tell us that it's cute.
Yeah, I think you just have to teach them as they get to that age. Like, when a boy has his first girlfriend, if she breaks up with him, you know, traditionally we might say, how are you going to win her back? But teaching him, okay, I know it doesn't feel good, but she made that choice. And, you know, how are we going to help you feel better, you know, while you're getting over losing someone that you liked? Versus, why don't you buy her some flowers and show up at her door and see if she really meant it? It's just, there's so much to think about.
That's such a good point. I never even thought of that really.
And then you're gonna as I say it, I know that it's gonna be such an uphill battle for things like that too, because everybody else is gonna say it's okay to, why don't you just buy her flowers? Like, that's what people are going to teach their children. Like, that's,
and like media that they consume.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole world that you have to like combat, is media too.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Like, Brooke, it's a good idea to rewatch these movies that we thought we liked when we were younger and make sure that they are appropriate. And if they're not, watch them with them and say why that doesn't work. Stuff like that is going to be so important. And hopefully movies just keep getting better and better and less unrealistic and teaching better lessons for these kids, because it does seem to be trending in that direction, at least.
I was watching like a very old, Ryan had put it on because he was like, oh, I remember this on Disney Plus. Shit, I don't remember. I think it's like the kid that takes the sword out of the rock.
You mean like King Arthur, the sword in the stone?
Yes. Yes. Very sexist. Just gonna... I watched it for like 10 minutes and I was like, this is so problematic. We're shutting this off. But I think that you're right. Like, that could actually be like a conversation starter, I guess. I don't know.
And I get so lost in like my own little bubble, and I feel like there's so much talk about Disney princess movies and how misogynistic they are, and like, don't let your daughters watch them, or if you do, explain why certain things aren't okay. But I'm glad we're having this conversation with you, Caitlin, because I really don't think there is as much talk about the quote-unquote like boy side of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish it was more like, I feel like it, maybe it's like, feels like so much has happened to put girls in the spot and women in the spot where they are today that, you know, you want to fight back against it, when really there's just this whole other generation that hasn't even reached it yet. And that just feels like the answer, but that it's hard work. And it's not just something that you automatically think of. You don't want to write off that boys and white boys, they are obviously extremely privileged, and it's not like they have it the worst or by any means. So maybe that's where it comes from, is that this group of people is extremely privileged. So we are going to work towards underrepresented populations and how to get them there, versus looking at the privileged population, how to change the way it's working.
It goes both ways. Yeah. Like, that's part of the problem too, is that we're not working on the privileged population and teaching them about their privilege and like why some of their past actions, not them, but like the group of people that they're in, why they have been problematic in the past, and why you shouldn't do those things again, and you shouldn't repeat history and all of those things.
I know, we have such knee-jerk reactions to so many different things, and obviously all of the Black Lives Matter movements that have happened over time have really, you know, made you think about what you've done and how you've contributed to, you know, racism. And so many people disagree with that. And it's the same thing. And unfortunately, these men have been raised in a toxic, masculine environment. And those are the people that we want to teach their sons not to do what they did. And it's going to be extremely hard.
Can I ask how Kyle feels all about... Yeah, I'm just curious, like, being a dad in this world and having a son.
Well, after I finished this book, I told him he has to read it. But he hasn't yet. I'd say we are on the same page, I think, conceptually and big picture. But I think it's the small things that he has more of a knee-jerk reaction than I do. I've heard this argument for a lot of different things in childhood, that if a child's not doing anything wrong in that moment, why scare them and explain something to them that's going to make them wonder why, like, yes, I'm a white boy, but I didn't do these things that other white boys or men have done. So why tell, like, why tell young people about that? But I think we just have to keep reading and learning about it to understand the importance of it, because it's not until something bad happens that then you would talk about it once they did something bad, right. Something unacceptable. So I think we definitely have a lot of work to do. I think there's so much to do with raising a toddler in general that it's hard to add this into the mix, but it's just something that now it's going to be in the back of my mind, and once he reads it, in the back of his mind. And honestly, for anybody listening that is raising a boy and would like their husband or male partner to understand where they're coming from, I think this book is a really good place to start, because it's someone who admits all of the stuff he's done wrong, and it's not like bad stuff. It's just about the way he's spoken to women and the way that he said that he under-earned, like his wife over-earned for the better part of their marriage, and it bothered him and stuff like that, that you don't think about it enough for it to feel like a problem. But when someone describes it all to you, you understand how it's going to add up. And then the end of the book talks about all of the horrible, like, things that all of this results in, is gun violence and sexual assault. And it's not, I mean, yes, in the beginning you're talking about what you're doing with boy clothes versus girl clothes and this and that, and it seems small, but if you start building on that foundation, then you can avoid things like, you know, 95% of mass shootings are men, and the mass shootings in America versus other cultures are so much higher, and it's just very obvious that we're doing something wrong. So what is it, and how do we fix it? We have to do all these small things, or else we're not going to get there. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I was super surprised that he touched on, that I had never thought about before, is a concrete reason that men might feel more aggressive than women, is that platonic touch between men or men and women is like unacceptable. Like, boys don't hug their friends. Once you get older, you're not going to hug a girl that you don't like or whatnot. And a lot of men, like you guys have talked about the love languages, a lot of men's love language is physical touch. So if you're only requiring physical touch from a romantic partner, but like hugging a friend when you see them, or, you know, your dad, sitting close to somebody on a couch, like nothing that big of a deal, that boys and men are deprived of, because it's, I mean, guys, they use gay as an insult, and that things that seem gay, you wouldn't want to be doing, but really, you know, it's not. It's culturally, women can hug and sleep in the same bed and sit next to each other on the couch, and nobody's going to bat an eye. But then when boys don't get that same physical touch, if it's consensual and wanted on both sides, it's sad that that's one of the things that they're deprived of, and it can end up in aggression.
I never even thought of that. Yeah,
that was a big thing that I just hadn't really, I'd never thought of it that way. And that kind of like, I mean, if a girl's having a sleepover with her friend, they're probably going to sleep in the same bed. If the boy was having a sleepover, you'd probably set up a different bed for the friend sleeping over. But why? Like, why?
Yeah.
But that was most of all the different, like, I mean, there was literally anything you could think of in this book, but those were the ones that jumped out most to me that I thought were applicable to, like, young kids, and then just, like, a foundation you can build on. But, I mean, honestly, there was 36 parenting tips, so if you need
any. I want to ask about, like, I feel like one big thing we didn't, and we kind of just talked about a little bit, is just, like, emotions, and how, like, I think a lot of the times men's default emotion is anger, because that's the one thing they're like allowed to like feel and show.
Yep.
And so, like, does it talk about I mean, this is gentle parenting in general, like acknowledging your child's emotions and letting them know that, like, there is no good or bad. It's okay to feel sad or angry or whatever. I guess that's just like general gentle parenting.
He did talk about that, and he did, it really kind of just said exactly what you just said. It did talk about like modeling emotions for them and how you work through them as being important, and that being from your mom or female parent and your male parent, if you have one's perspective. So encouraging dads to feel their emotions in front of their children would make a huge difference.
I feel like some of the root of these things is helping men, like we talk a lot about like generational trauma and healing your inner child. I don't know that men talk about that kind of, or if it's acceptable for men to talk about that kind of stuff. And I think that maybe we got to start there too, to try to, I don't know.
Well, we talked a little bit about that last week, yeah, when we were talking about infertility and just how, like, you touched a little bit on this, Caitlin, like how women do talk a little bit more about, like, miscarriages and infertility and those types of things, where, like, men generally don't talk about those things or process their emotions
or have an outlet.
Yeah, like, talk to their friends about those things. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, like, men will hang out with their friends, and when they come home, you're like, oh, hey, how's so-and-so doing with their new baby? And they'll be like, I don't know.
Right.
We didn't talk about it. And it's just like, you didn't ask them how they were doing? Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially with things like miscarriage, because, like, I feel like men don't spend as much time, like, researching maybe as much as we do. And I know one of Kyle's friends experienced miscarriage and told him, and he was so shocked. He just thought it was, like, the, like, just like a crazy chance thing that happened to him, and he had no idea how common it was. Wow. And because he's not reading about these things like we are all the time, and it just goes, I'm like, he's not the only one, you know, that has gone through this. You guys don't talk about it. And I'm very thankful that he has a friend that did share it with him and that they can talk about stuff like that. But the fact that that's, you know, the one time he'd heard someone in his personal life tell him personally about that. And just crazy.
That is.
Is there anything else you wanted to add, Caitlin?
That, different phrases, basically correcting people around you for things that they don't realize are so wrong to say.
Yeah.
So that includes, like, boys will be boys, or, like, man up, or, one that I hadn't really thought of was, like, playing sports, like, walk it off. You hear that all the time, and it's like, okay, but they got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how about you get that checked out?
Yeah. Like, maybe not walk it off.
Yeah.
And then just all of the phrases that are essentially, like, sexualizing boys and girls, about saying, like, oh, is that going to be his boyfriend or his girlfriend? Ugh. And, like, we have, one side of us has, both of our neighbors have a very young girl. And it's like, oh, she's the girl next door. I'm like, she's 3.
And,
like,
it is gross how much people sexualize kids. It's disgusting.
I just feel like it's, like, comes up in these little phrases that are just, like, I've never particularly enjoyed it, but generally speaking, it's not like, oh, is that your little girlfriend? Like, that's not uncommon to hear all the time.
Or nobody likes it when you say that to them.
No, it's your friend. It's like, he's, what? They're just little kids. Like, that's not a girlfriend. They can't even talk.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh. I think it just, like, it's just so eye-opening that it really is, like, we talk about the big things, but it's the little things or matter.
It all matters, but we just need to be more aware.
Yeah.
And practicing the little things when these kids are so young is only going to make it easier for us as parents to practice the big things when they're older, so.
Well said.
It goes both ways of, it's really hard to teach them these things, but it's also really hard to get yourself to do the teaching. So getting comfortable with it now is probably the best idea.
Yep, that is true. And it'll get easier because we'll have to have hard conversations in the future when they go to school and have friends and we meet their parents, and, you know, Yeah. So I think that was really important to talk about, yeah, as usual.
For sure.
And thanks for sharing your expert knowledge,
Caitlin. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, though? Give us a brief update of what's going on in your life and in Julian's life now that we're at 1 year out.
Yeah.
We know he's walking and talking.
Well, actually, he's not walking.
But he's talking a ton.
Yes. I have really flat, flat feet, and he has my very flat, flat feet. And I'm probably going to wait like a couple more weeks. I mean, he's like standing all the time and he just won't take this. He doesn't have good balance because of his feet. So anyway, that's another thing, you know, meeting your milestones on time.
Yep.
Otherwise, and even just that, I mean, he's not at an age where it's concerning yet, but we're getting there. So otherwise, doing good. I think when I last was on the podcast, it was right after I went back to work. I ended up switching jobs, so now I don't have to do such a crazy schedule with him. So it feels much more normal life-like around here these days. And he's healthy and happy and wild and awesome.
And you're doing well.
Yes. Yes.
You're also important. You are a human too.
Yeah. I quit my job right as like the COVID vaccine for the public plan was being unrolled, which I felt a little bit guilty about, but I did 1 week of it and it was, oh my goodness, all the power to the people that stuck it through that whole thing. Cause that was wild, but did it for the long game. Had to sneak into this job I found while it was available. And yes, I'm doing well as well.
Thank you for coming on. I'm glad that you got to, we'll have to do.
Thank you for having me.
See you in another year, maybe.
Next year, we'll see what's going on. Probably this problem will be cured. Toxic masculinity will be over.
That's really big dreams.
We gotta manifest it.
Yeah.
It'll be a celebration episode.
Yeah.
Caitlin cured toxic masculinity.
Oh, if only it were that easy. Yeah. Would you like us to share where we can find you?
Sure. Yeah. I think that my Instagram's private now because of weird people. But you can follow me. Megan knows my Instagram.
I'll say it really slow.
But yeah, anybody can follow me. I don't have anything on my Instagram. I'm not an expert, so I don't have anything on my Instagram about any of this. But maybe someday I will, because clearly there is a lack. So I could be better, and I could start posting stuff about that.
You could start a whole new account.
Yeah.
So Caitlin's Instagram is KM
Plummer.
This is awful. We're like cracking up and nobody even understands this, but
if you're like an OG listener, you're gonna understand. So go back and listen to episode 6, which is Caitlin's episode, and you will.
I think it was before that.
I know, but we tell the story. We told the story on hers.
Oh, we did tell the story?
Okay. Because we did the same thing where we laughed and we're like, KM Plummer.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is us promoting episode 6. Is that what you said when Caitlin came on the first time?
Yeah.
You will get that inside joke. So go back, listen. And yeah, rate, review, subscribe. The Spotify thing is
follow.
And comment, share, all of that on our Instagram. And we will talk to you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.